He was known as Al-Qaeda's second-in-command, a propaganda master, and a viral video sensation on YouTube.
والحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله.
American officials say Abu Yahya al-Libi was killed by a U.S. drone strike in northwestern Pakistan Monday. That's the eighth drone strike in that region over the past 2 weeks. Pakistan's foreign ministry has issued a formal complaint. They're calling for an end to the attacks, yet again calling for an end. But that's not the only sign of deteriorating relations between the U.S. and Pakistan. U.S. officials in Islamabad have announced they're pulling $20 million in funding from Simsim Hamada. That's Pakistan's version of Sesame Street, which launched just last year. We're joined now by Aleem Maqbool, BBC correspondent from Islamabad. Nice to speak with you, Aleem.
Yes, hi, Celeste.
Let's talk first about the man who U.S. officials have confirmed was killed in Pakistan, Abu Yahya al-Libi. Some people say he was the heir apparent to Osama bin Laden, mostly because he was much more charismatic than Ayman al-Zawahiri, who leads al-Qaeda now, and that he had al-Libi had the best chance to take over bin Laden's role in al-Qaeda. What did he do for al-Qaeda?
Well, quite. I mean, he was the man, Abu Yahya al-Libi, who was in charge of the troops on the ground, if you like, the militants on the ground. He had risen through the ranks through being a very popular figure among Islamist militants because of his appearance in propaganda videos for al-Qaeda, and also a religious background and being supportive of the militants in everyday sort of action. So he was being talked about as a future leader of the organization, someone who could take it forward, who had a sort of bigger vision than Ayman al-Zawahiri could offer. That's what many militants say, at least. But that made him, of course, all the more dangerous. So to have him taken out, if indeed seems to be the case, it is a big blow to the organization, the biggest since bin Laden was killed last year.
Well, Aleem, this was a guy also who supported efforts to topple Pakistan's government. It seems that they would be happy if he were gone, just as happy as the United States.
Well, you would think so. I mean, it's always very complicated when you look at the government, the establishment here, who's supporting what, because, of course, there have been allegations that Pakistan or some elements within Pakistan were protecting the al-Qaeda leader, Osama bin Laden, that others are helping the Taliban in Afghanistan. Of course, that's all refuted by Islamabad. But there are elements within it. And that's, of course, what Washington's viewpoint has been throughout. Its stand has been, look, Pakistan should be supporting these drone attacks and our attacks on those high-value targets, if you like, within al-Qaeda and the Taliban, because ultimately both sides benefit. It's not just the United States, but domestically as well, where, quite frankly, more people have been killed by militants than anywhere else here in Pakistan. But instead, the reaction from the Pakistani government has been very angry indeed. The U.S. Chargé d'affaires here, Richard Hoagland, was called in to the Foreign Office to be told that these drone attacks were unlawful, unacceptable, and a clear red line for Pakistan.
Well, is Pakistan still holding the argument that if drone strikes are going to be carried out, that they should be carrying them out? Or have the relationships deteriorated to the point where Pakistan wants nothing to do with the U.S. strategy on counterinsurgency?
Well, look, it's always said publicly, Pakistan has always said publicly that it wants the information to be able to carry out these attacks themselves. But then there is also the argument, and it's not just the argument here, there are those elsewhere who argue the same thing, that even if high-value targets are taken out, it does cause an awful lot of resentment. There have been civilian deaths, and every one of those is used as a recruiting tool by militant groups. So it's the argument about whether or not it is ultimately counterproductive. But clearly, Washington has taken the calculation that it's worth it to get these few high-value targets, that the rest of it is worth it. But here you rightly bring in the fact that there is just tension across the board right now between Pakistan and the United States. So Pakistan, it appears, would argue with anything that's going on from the American side. And it seems right now that these allies look more like enemies.
We're speaking with Aleem Maqbool, BBC correspondent from Islamabad. Then let's talk about Simsim Hamada and why U.S. officials would pull funding from this program, which really hasn't been on the air all that long and was seen as a real triumph in terms of a new and an original way to reach out to the people of Pakistan as opposed to the government.
Sure. I mean, the stated aim of USAID here, and I've spoken to the head of USAID recently, is to change the conditions on the ground so militancy can't thrive here. And the way to do that, they thought, one of the ways to do that was through a program like this, Sesame Street in Urdu, essentially, with Elmo and new Pakistani puppets, and use it as an educational tool, but also to talk about, be able to talk about tolerance when it comes to other religions, talking about women's rights as well. The main character was a female puppet, and the main human in the show was a little girl as well. So there was this sense that it could be a way to reach out to young people here. But as you say, just after 6 months of this $20 million project, $10 million had already been handed over. The American officials said that that money had been stopped. Originally, they didn't say why, but now it appears it's because they were made aware of corruption allegations that the theater group involved was embezzling money. Now, I've spoken to somebody from the theater group. They say that these claims are baseless. They were made by one reporter in a Pakistani newspaper, and they are still hoping to get money from elsewhere so Elmo can continue to ply his trade on Pakistani screens.
Perhaps Pakistan and U.S. relations won't be in any way, shape, or form improved unless the fight against terrorism really moves to Yemen and Somalia, Alim.
Look, I think we're going to see a very difficult time in terms of Pakistani-U.S. relations in the next few months, because remember, we have elections in both countries coming up in the next year or so. Both sides want to, both administrations want to show they're being tough with the other to their domestic audience. And so I can't see these tensions being alleviated anytime soon.
Alim Maqbool is a correspondent with our partner, the BBC, speaking to us from Islamabad. Alim, thank you so much.
Anytime.